Welcome to What's With These Homies Talking About Weezer. I'm your host, Matt Apodaca, and today we're talking Weezer's 13th album and 6th self-titled album, The Black Album. To discuss the album, I'm joined by a very special guest. You know him from every podcast you've ever heard. It's Scott Aukerman.
Oh. You startled me with that intro. You're like, welcome to What's Up With These Homies. It startled me. It made me swallow my coffee.
Oh no.
Wrong.
I didn't mean to scare you. Scott, thanks for being here.
Hi, Matt. Thank you for having me.
I saw the, you know what? This is maybe podcast etiquette 101. I saw the cough happening in the corner of my eye. I thought maybe.
I'll just plow right through instead of redoing my intro.
Yeah, so I'll just keep going and hopefully finish.
Are we live right now?
Yeah, this is going out right now. Thank you for doing this. I'm sorry.
Yeah, my pleasure. I'm composed now. I'm okay.
Okay, good. So obviously you're no stranger to talking tunes.
Talking tunes. Where are you from, Matt?
I'm a SoCal kid just like yourself.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, I'm from Downey, California.
You're from Downey. I used to karaoke at the Acapulco restaurant in Downey.
Oh, that is a great karaoke spot.
Yes.
That's awesome.
At least it used to be. I don't know.
I haven't been back.
Back in the 90s.
Well, I was there in the 90s.
Yeah, really?
Mm-hmm.
In the 80s, too.
Well, I wasn't there in the 80s. I was not born.
You were not born in the 80s.
No.
You were born in the 90s.
I was 1990, right at the end.
Okay.
I was supposed to be born in 91, but I kicked my way out.
Really? Okay. Mm-hmm. So are you Christmas or?
This was December 2nd, so right before.
Oh, okay.
Just before.
So you were like a month early?
Yes. And it was my mom. Oh, boy. I have a twin brother also, and she'll remind us all the time, we almost killed her.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, her life's not over yet. You still have time.
Yeah. We're like, oh, one day we'll get you.
From day one
to her last day, yeah.
You've been trying to kill her.
We've been trying. No.
The perfect crime.
Everyone's going to laugh because she comes up on the show a lot because she's young.
Oh, really? When was she born?
She just turned 50.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So, she's older than I am then.
Well, she's still quite a young man in comparison.
Compared to her, I am young.
Compared to my old crone of a mom.
Oh, my God. And she was in Downey as well? Where'd she go to school?
She went to school in Southgate, actually. So she went
to... P.L.'s Dodge, Long Beach Freeway, Firestone Exit, Southgate.
Yeah, you got it.
Yeah.
She went to Pius over there in Southgate, which is a Catholic school.
Oh, great.
Yes. And now I don't know if... they necessarily lean that way. I don't know what the politics are.
I wonder if we had ever met, if we would have
fallen in love, and you'd be my dad.
Yeah, I would love that.
Scott's my dad. That's canon now, guys. So okay, this is the Black Album. This is the last album in their discography currently.
Yeah,
in Weezer's discography. And so I guess what I like to ask my guests before we get into things, where you're at with Weezer currently? Like, what is your current take on the band?
Okay. Can I talk about my history with the band
as
well?
I love it.
So
no.
All right. So just where I am today.
Yes. No.
As
please.
Of the last 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay.
No. Absolutely. Give me your history.
Okay. So the Blue Album came out in 1994. Am I correct in that? Okay. So I was living in Azusa, California at the time in a condo with my friend. I got roped into living in a condo and told it was cheaper than places in LA.
That doesn't seem...
It was not cheaper. And the sink didn't work, and so we had to eat out for every meal.
You do that anyway, my man.
Oh, yeah. stay in and eat out. but... So I have a lot of memories of the Blue Album around then. It was a big K-Rock hit here in Southern California.
Kevin and Bean.
I listened to the singles a lot. Then I got the record, and I remember it was a used copy because the jewel case had one of those stickers, you know, those gigantic gold stickers they used to put on the used CD cases that said, warning, this is pre, you know.
It might not work the exact same way. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, we get it. We're at a used shop. And I had tried to take it off, but I didn't have Goo Gone, and it was one of those super sticky ones.
Yes.
So it was just, I remember the front of it had just like white stuff all over it. So it was sort of blocking the body of everybody.
Oh, wow.
So you could just kind of see their faces.
Yeah.
But, so I got that record, and it was one of my favorites, if not my favorite of that year. I love the Blue Album.
It's perfect.
Yeah, it's a perfect record. Every single song a classic.
Yeah.
But I bring up that sticker because I remember reading I don't remember where it was. Was it in Q or was it in Rolling Stone or something? But some journalist said that the they said that the cover of the Blue album was a joke. Well, they were like, a lot of people don't understand the joke of the cover of the Blue album and the band's name. And I was like, oh, maybe I'm not getting it because I because the jewel case is obscuring what this joke is. Are they hiding their penises or something? And I've always wondered about that. And then at a certain point, I realized this person is the person who doesn't get it, who thinks there's some joke going on, right? There's nothing, right?
Not really. I mean, you could argue that. Well, no, you couldn't even argue that this is a joke. Their feet aren't on the album. That's not really funny.
Yeah, there's
it's not
nothing
funnier that there's no feet.
This person like invented a joke, and for some reason, for a long time, I was like, I don't get this joke. But and the person didn't explain the joke in their thing. They're just like, we all get this joke.
That
we
seems
all understand.
To be like a lot of music journalism to me. They're always just like above it, just a little bit. But
like
actually,
they're like, we all get this. I'm not even gonna bother to.
Yeah.
So for a long time, I thought that I wasn't getting something about it. But so I saw them at the Universal Amphitheater on the Blue album tour.
Okay, wow.
And that was after Rivers had broken his leg, right, in order to set it back correctly.
Yeah.
So he came out in crutches, on not crutches, but I think he came out with a cane and hobbled over to a keyboard where he was like kind of in front of a keyboard most of the time.
Yeah.
Sort of switching back and forth from guitar and keyboard.
Jeez.
But then Matt Sharp was like jumping around even more.
So
I feel like
he was doing it extra to help his friend.
To be out there because they're playing the Universal Amphitheater, which is pretty big.
Yeah.
And it's like, we need to be giant. And I was in the pit, I remember, because I was in Azusa at the, where did I used to get my tickets there? It must have been in a warehouse or a Blockbuster or something. But
I remember getting tickets at Blockbuster, but in Downey and being like that, but also only doing that one time because I was
one time. But I remember that was one of the few times, like anytime I would go into that place to get tickets, there would usually be a line. Mm-hmm. And this was the only time that no one was there. And I was the only person. And he's like, what are you getting tickets for? Usually they were prepared, you know? And I was like, Weezer, the Universal Amphitheater. He's like, okay. And then this guy was really good. And he kept pushing the buttons and trying to get in. And I got into the pit and I was like, whoa, I got pit tickets for Weezer. And then I went to Universal Amphitheater and it was kind of empty.
Oh,
I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
They weren't quite big enough to play the Universal at the
That's
time.
That's so interesting. I saw them there on their Memories tour. So we saw similar sets because I saw them do the Blue album in full.
Oh, okay.
But I was not in the pit. But that was a great show. That place now is Harry Potter World.
Yes.
Yeah.
It no longer exists, Mm-mm. which is such a bummer.
Great venue.
I loved that place. Mm-hmm. I've been going there since probably 83 or so was the first time I ever went there. 84. So I saw that show and Matt Sharp jumping around and being real extra.
Yeah.
And I can't remember if this was the year, but what was the year that their fan club kids got into that car accident?
I mean, it was probably like right after because Michael and Carly was like a Blue album era.
Blue album B-side.
Yeah.
I don't know if you talked about it on the show, but what happened was the three kids who ran their fan club and they wrote a song about them, Michael and Carly and their younger sister, I believe. They were driving home from a Weezer show and all got into a car accident and passed away.
Yes.
Which is just like a horrible.
Horrific.
Horrific. So they did a, I think it was a benefit show for the family at the Palace.
Wow.
which I was there for that. I think Doug Benson and I went to it. And that's one of the best shows that I think I've ever seen.
That's like, I mean, I was about to say it's like cool that you were there because like it's obviously such a tragic event.
Yeah.
But it was like, it's such a specific part of like their history that to be there, like it's a rare occurrence. Like never happened.
Not a lot of people were there. The Palace is not that big. I don't know what it's called now, by the way, but it's the place over on Vine. People used to dance there and all that kind of stuff. But I've seen a lot of shows there.
Yeah.
So that was one of the best shows I've ever seen where they came out like with a fire and just like with something to like they wanted it to be one of the best shows they'd ever done, it felt like. And they came out. I remember they I think they played My Name is Jonas first. I can't remember the set list.
Yeah.
But then they played some one of their more blistering tracks up top, and then immediately went into Say It Ain't So.
Wow.
And turned on the disco ball immediately. And it was just like, whoa, what a transition. You know, for these two amazing songs.
Yeah.
And then they sang Michael and Carly as the encore with the parents out
there.
Oh,
my God.
Yeah, it was just like a real emotional show.
Yeah.
A great show. So then Pinkerton came out, and I remember liking it, but not liking it like the Blue Album.
I think
because of the production is so different, you know? And I remember bugging Brian Posehn and Doug Benson because we all used to hang out and play video games and watch MTV all day.
Yeah,
at Brian's
perfect.
House.
Yeah.
I remember bugging them by playing The Good Life over and over on the guitar. and at one point, I remember them going, "Would you stop playing that?" but that was okay. I don't think I saw the tour of Pinkerton tour. So then they went away, and their fame just kind of grew, you know. People like really missed them.
Yeah.
And so then when they suddenly got back together and started playing really tiny clubs, I happened to see a lot of those shows.
Really?
Like at the Troubadour. What was the place that it started in New York and then it came out here, but it closed over on the Galaxy Theater is there.
I don't know the name of it. I was going to say Halal Guys.
Oh, but it was a real tiny club. I saw Stella there as well.
Ooh.
So I saw a bunch of, and they called themselves something different.
Was it Goat Punishment?
Yeah, it was Goat Punishment. Yeah. But everyone knew that's what Weezer was. And so I saw a bunch of those shows, and those were like amazing shows. And I took Kulop to one at the Troubadour, and we were just like, oh, holy shit, this is before the Green Album.
Yes.
It was just like, these are incredible shows. They're back. You know,
the boys are back.
The boys are back. Then the Green Album came out, and I liked it a lot. And I was like, Weezer's back. And then the more I listened to it, I was like, I love the songs, but I hate the fact that Rivers is only playing the melodies as the guitar solos.
Yes. Yeah. It is such a, like, it's very funny because, like, somebody who doesn't pay attention to music in that way, like, listening to it growing up, I was like, oh, like, this is kind of just a fun album. And now that is the only thing I can really think about that album. Like, it's like, he didn't really show up for this thing. He just did it.
The songs, though, are incredible. And I think the melodies are great. And it's just, I felt like it was a conscious choice, like make the guitar solos as simple as possible in order to ingrain the melodies in your head or whatever.
Yeah, because you could sing all those guitar solos.
Yeah, they're exactly what the chorus just was. But I really love all those songs, and I got all the B-sides and all that kind of stuff. And then Maladroit's next, right?
Yes.
So then that one came out, and I actually really like that one. I kind of like all of Weezer's albums, at least for the first four, to Van Halen albums, you know?
Okay, I'm interested.
Where they, the first one is a classic, every song's amazing. Mm-hmm. The second one is like slightly more challenging.
Yeah.
Third is like almost a comeback of like, okay, maybe you didn't, the last one was, but this one's really good. And then the fourth is like really, I think the fourth Van Halen album is Women and Children First.
Maybe, yeah.
Where there's like only one single from it, but it's like really good, and there's a lot of guitar playing, you know. And then the next one is Diver Down, I think, which is almost viewed as like a sellout album because there's so many keyboards on it, you know, and so many covers, you know. So I think Van Halen had a career kind of a lot like Weezer in a way. But I liked Maladroit. I like all the songs. And I was like, oh, finally, the guitar solos are a little more complex.
Yeah, there's something really ripping guitar in that one in particular. It is like I think it still might be like their heaviest guitar record. It's so like it has like such a specific punch to it.
Yeah, so really into that one. And then the next one is the
Make Believe,
yeah. Which that's the last one that I can say that I listen to with any regularity because that's probably the cutoff to when I would listen to CDs in my car.
Okay.
So that's, I think that's the last CD I ever bought from Weezer, actually, instead of downloading everything.
Yeah.
So that one I listened to a lot, and I know a lot of people slag it, but I think it's okay.
Yeah, I think the thing that I've been saying is that like people used to say Maladroit was like their most underrated record, but now because there's truly so many of them at this point. We have to sort of shift the goalpost a little bit. I think Make Believe is now very underrated because it has some really solid, like, songs that people forget about because they don't like Beverly Hills.
Because they don't like Beverly Hills, yeah.
And Beverly Hills is a good pop song. Like, it's...
I don't mind Beverly Hills.
Yeah, people sing it at the concerts, and, like, I'm like, oh, who hates this song? Everyone's singing along to it. You're all liars.
And I think that's the end of Weezer 2.0, in a way. Like, Weezer 1.0 is the first two records, and then Maladroit is the end of... Make Believe is the end of 2.0. Actually, maybe Red Album is. I can't tell. It's like, that's around... Red Album, then I got... I remember, I have a very specific memory of being at the UCB for Comedy Death Ray and playing it over the... We used to play music while we were setting up, right? And playing it, and Jonah Ray being there, like, prepping for his set, and us talking about the album, and him just going, it's not good. And me saying, like... Well, I love Pork and Beans.
Yeah, and Beans is great.
That's a great song. And then the first four songs are pretty good, right?
Yeah, you know? I would say so. I think that one in particular is like, it's about half. It's halfway in, halfway out in those two.
But that's probably the end of 2.0 because to me it still is like he's still playing in the classic Weezer style. And I'm like, oh, okay. So then starts Weezer 3.0, which I confess that I maybe have... There are a few albums I've never listened to all the way through.
Yes.
Because Ratitude is next, is that
Ratitude
right?
is
Never
after,
listened to it, really.
Yeah, it's
Hurley
terrible.
Never listened to.
Hurley is really bad as well.
But then I was reading like a Stereo Gum article because recently I got interested in what am I missing about recent Weezer? And there was, I think, an article about like the best Weezer deep cuts, you know?
Yeah.
And so I started getting interested, and they were like, oh, no, Hurley is actually very underrated is what people were saying. Like, it's got great songs. I don't know.
I mean, I feel like I was nicer to that one, or I was nicer to Ratitude, which I'd say I hate, than I was to Hurley. Because Hurley is just like, it's a bunch of ideas that don't ever actually like fulfill themselves. It's very like, you could hear it. You could hear the Weezer version of this, some of the songs, but I'm just like, I don't know about
well,
this.
Well, that's the thing is like, that seems to be Weezer 3.0 where they were like, we don't care about the Weezer style anymore. We're going to do whatever is the producerial tricks are that are happening on the radio right now. And we're just going to aim for pop stuff.
Yes.
Which, you know, has had some success or whatever. But so from then on, I would say that devotion to listening to the records is spotty at best. Everything is all right. Everything Will Be All Right in the End is the only one that I've really listened to because that was sort of a return to form in terms of instrumentation, if not his voice.
Yeah.
My only other background tidbit about the band is that we got word when we were doing the Comedy Bang Bang television show that they wanted to do the show, right? And so they were one of the... There are sort of like lists of people. There were people who got on the show. Mm-hmm. There were people who never responded to wanting to be on the show. And then there were these middle period people who supposedly wanted to be on the show. And we got as far as writing everything they were going to do on the show, writing their episode.
Yeah.
And then them backing out once they read the scripts. Right. And there are quite a few people who got to that point, including Macklemore, who backed out literally day of twice and made a scramble to fill in with someone else. But Weezer was one of those where I was like, oh, that would be cool. I think they were in their Ratitude period or whatever. Mm-hmm. I was like, I love Weezer. You know, I have this history with the band. Yeah. I love Weezer. We wrote really funny sketches for them, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But there were probably 10 people who, once we sent the sketches, immediately was like, they're not doing the show anymore, which you can only take as an indictment of the scripts you've written, right?
Like,
oh, they hated these scripts. So that was always a bummer to me. And then I remember Rivers like tweeting at one point after the show had ended. He's like, hey, everyone should just chill out, smoke a bowl, and watch Comedy Bang Bang.
Oh, my God. Right?
And I'm like, so he, because I never, when you're dealing with publicists, you never hear like, if it's a real request, this happens all the time, especially on the podcast. Like, this person wants to do the podcast, and you go, okay. And then they go, hey, they're not interested. And it's like, oh, so you, the publicist, are just like searching for things for them to do.
Right.
And you've like hooked me in and I've adjusted my schedule accordingly.
Yeah.
And now you're saying they didn't. But that one felt like it was so out of left field. We weren't chasing Weezer down. It was suddenly we hear Weezer wants to do it that I felt like someone there must be a fan of the show or something.
Yeah.
And I think it might be Rivers. So I don't know.
I feel like he likes comedy. I mean, he's done. Because when they were promoting Red, they did all these like weird YouTube things, and like I don't know if that's comedy, but at the time that was
and
like
he has
very popular.
Al Yankovic in his video, and the videos are funny, and
so they've always been like a funny band sort of.
Yeah.
Like they've always had funny videos. It kind of is surprising that they didn't do it.
Thought they would have been really funny. We hardly ever had guests, mainly because of our camera setup. We hardly ever had four people on at the same time, you know? And so we were going to make an exception for them and film it, you know, like put two chairs behind the couch, like two high back stools
and
sort of film it like that. And The Lonely Island, that was one of the only people that we would do three at a time, right?
Yeah.
So we were going to do it kind of like that. And I thought the scripts were really funny, but I remember one of them was them literally just saying the... intro words from the Sweater Song was literally them like in conversation saying all of that stuff with each other, you know?
That's so funny.
Who knows if that turned them off. But my whole point is like, come back to us and say, hey, we don't want to do, that would happen all the time of like, hey, we don't want to do this one. We don't want to do that one. And we would change that all the time and go, oh, okay, let's write something new.
Right.
And then the worst is when they would still like back out, when you would like write another round.
Extra work. Yeah.
So there were a few people like that. And Macklemore was like that too, of like, hey, I don't want to do this. And we changed it. And then the day of, I'm not coming anymore.
I'll say this so you don't have to. It seems like what would help Macklemore the most is if he had a more fun personality.
Well, I feel, you know, he called me personally to apologize.
Okay,
the
back.
First time. Uh-huh. And from what I understand, maybe he was going through some troubles at the time.
Dang. I wonder when that was. But you know what? Heart goes out to you, Mac. I'm sorry I said that about you.
And
Seattle's own.
You know, I mean, honestly, it was more of just a logistical problem for us than like a true like, damn it, Macklemore can't be here. You know, like the episode ended up being great. And Colin knows this. Colin Hanks came in like just basically off a phone call. Of, like, can you be here in an hour?
Yes.
And him going, yeah, sure.
And he's
really funny in it. So it's like it all worked out for the best.
That's awesome. Well, this is about the time where I would start moving on into some facts. So how about I hit you with some facts about this album? Okay. So obviously it was released. Obviously it was released. We've heard
We all listened to it.
It was that day where everything got really quiet in the world because we were all listening to new Weezer. This was March 1st, 2019, earlier this year. Rivers wanted to do something that was radical and said that their producer, Jake Sinclair, was very much the voice of conservatism on the side of the old school fans. He wanted them to do more things like Everything Will Be All Right in the End and White and, you know, just even the obviously Blue and Pinkerton, but he won on that one. But Rivers said, "I'm gonna win on this one."
Okay,
and so that means he was like, "I'm gonna get my ideas out there, and it's gonna sound the way I want it to sound, not how the old school
fans want it to."
Exactly.
Sound.
Okay. And what did he say? That it was gonna feel. He said he was likening it to an urban environment, nighttime and gritty, and hopefully a lot more money. Well. I don't know about you. I was terrified when I was listening to this album. Not really.
It felt like nighttime. It felt like I was in an urban environment.
Yeah, I had to.
Am I going to get mugged or am I listening to music?
I was holding a flashlight.
Oh.
I was terrified. What was it? He said that the Black Album would require new psychological techniques, new writing techniques, and new places to hang out like Echo Park and Silver Lake.
Oh, God. Oh, that's frightening.
Psychoanalysis is going to play a big role. It's going to be more R-rated, maybe with swear words for the first time on a Weezer album, which there are a few.
Does it like the F word or?
Yes, the F word, Scott. I won't say it.
I would never say it.
No, I thank you.
Yeah, this is a religious podcast, isn't it?
Well, yes. All podcasts should be.
Should be, yes. Yeah. They get us closer to God.
Yeah. He also said that he would summarize the album as The Beach Boys Gone Bad.
I think they went bad much more than Weezer has ever gone
bad. Yeah, I would say rotten.
Interesting.
And that it was supposed to, this album was supposed to come out directly after following the White Album, but when they were working on it, they had more songs that sort of filled this different category, a more beach
for
category.
Daydream Nation?
For Pacific Daydream.
Pacific Daydream, right. Then they put What's Daydream out. Nation? What am I thinking of when I say that?
I don't know.
That's a different record. I'm going to look it up.
And that he said that if Pacific Daydream was one step away from Weezer's history, then the Black Album was going to be 10 of those.
Oh.
And so that he's doing this on purpose, Scott.
Sonic Youth. Daydream Nation.
See, that's an
better
era.
That's better music. You should be doing a podcast about them.
I know
you were born in 1990, but
I was going to say, I don't have a real frame of reference for Sonic Youth. I don't know them.
Okay. I'll give you a best of.
Please. I'll take it.
Okay.
I would love to hear a good song for once.
Yeah.
Okay. So the next thing I want to do is play the songs, because that's how the.
Okay, by the way,
the show
is produced by Dave Sitek, which I was
okay, yes.
Very into when I heard about it conceptually from TV on the Radio.
Yes.
Although, even though TV on the Radio is a very different band, and they sort of have, they're a rock band that sort of dabbles in kind of more dance music influences a little bit, you
right.
know, which should have set my alarm bells off when it comes to Weezer, but
uh-oh.
But I love TV on the Radio, so I was like, oh, cool, that sounds great.
Yeah, when they work with somebody like, I mean, like, that is good at the thing that they do themselves, you're sort right. of like, okay, like, maybe something will rub off and this will be actually, like,
I mean, Rick Ocasek,
yes.
you wouldn't say that Weezer sounds like the Cars other than the keyboards occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
The guitars are definitely harder for Weezer. So,
yes.
You know, for me, it kind of felt like one of those of like, oh, Dave Sidon. Oh, okay, great.
Yeah.
And he's produced other things that are great. So,
and
yeah.
You know what, Rick? Give their boys a call. They need you.
Give them a call. They need you,
they
baby.
They need your help.
What was the last one that he did with
Everything
him?
Will Be All Right in the
Yeah.
End. It's so good.
Just work with Rick. He might be too busy giving it to Paulina Porizkova, though.
He's giving it to her.
Just on the reg.
Hey, if you're friends with P,
yeah.
Don't call me between these hours. I'm giving
no,
it to her.
No, ma'am.
Okay, so but before we play the songs on the Black Album, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Scott, thanks for being
Oh, my God.
Am I a scary host?
Matt, well, I feel like I'm listening to the Black Album.
Oh, my I'm sorry I'm being so scary.
Oh
I didn't know. I didn't.
Is this a Halloween themed podcast? Oh my goodness.
Happy Halloween.
Ooh.
No, okay. So we're going to play these songs and we're going to talk about them as they're playing. Are you ready to hear these
are
songs?
Are you the
again?
Kind of guy, by the way, who you know where you were the day it was released? You know what you were doing when you first heard it? Is that the level? Is this your favorite band? Is that the level?
Weezer
of
is my
you?
Favorite band. I'll say for this one, because I was already fallen, I was already hurt by Pacific Daydream. That I, because
your expectations are low.
My relationship with Weezer is that of expectations. So, like, after being very surprised by Everything Will Be All Right in the End, I'm like, wow, they're back. Uh-huh. I'm so excited.
And
I was all
album.
On board for White. I ordered the bundle that came with everything.
No.
And I'm just like, yes, 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 my boys are back. Then Pacific Daydream comes out, and I was like, huh. I went to Amoeba, waited in line all day.
For Pacific Daydream
to buy it physically and get a ticket to see them in person at Amoeba.
Right.
And then for this one, I remember it coming out and being like, well, it's on Spotify. I'll listen to it on Spotify.
Well, also because the singles that had come out already were probably Hasta Luego and,
yes.
And the last song had been out already.
Yeah, California
right?
Snow, yeah.
So you'd already heard those and knew what to expect.
Yes,
from it.
But I do own a physical copy of the album. I don't remember if I got it. I must have gotten it day of, but I don't remember
ever listening to it.
It's still wrapped. No, it's in my car. I own
right.
it. It's in my car.
Right.
But I think it must have come. Oh, you know what? I ordered it with a fan thing.
Okay.
It came with like a bundle.
You're part of their fan club?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so cool. it came with a download code. I have a download code.
Okay.
It's probably one of the only ones I don't own physically. Got to get back out there. Thanks for reminding me.
Sure.
got some shopping to do.
For my least favorite Weezer album.
I don't know if it's my least favorite one.
Weezer the first band that has, I guess with the exception of Everything Will Be All Right in the End, where literally you could rank their albums in order of release and by how good they are?
Yeah, almost. Yeah, like, because it is just sort of like, well, no.
Each one is slightly worse than the previous.
Yes, but then I will say there are some highs on the ones that I don't love, except I don't feel like Ratitude across the board that just doesn't work for me.
Well, I should listen to Ratitude and Hurley again because they're the only two. I never really listened to Pacific Daydreams either, mm-hmm. but I did listen to the White Album because I was snookered the same way that you were. But I do have to listen to those two again because I don't think I've ever heard them other than the singles.
I'd be very curious to hear what you think about them only because they suck out loud.
But I've heard that. I don't know. I would anyway.
There's
maybe
a couple,
I'll just listen to your show.
Oh please, I need a listener.
Okay. Bing, I got one.
I got one.
Oh, it's just Scott.
It's Scott. I'd be extra embarrassed to be like, oh no, this is somehow worse.
The only person listening.
No, I mean, oh no, he. I would rather you hear it the album
than your podcast. What is worse, the podcast about Weezer or Weezer? By the way, Weezer, if you're listening, and who knows, maybe Rivers is listening. Big fan.
Yeah.
Probably always will be, no matter what you do.
I'll say that of any criticism that I have of the albums does not carry over to the people in the band.
Yes.
I love them. I think they're great. They're still my favorite band. I'll see them any chance I get. Mm-hmm. I see them every time they come through Los Angeles.
I saw them at Glen Helen in I think it was a K-Rock show because Oasis played after them.
Wow.
But, and Oasis was so bad I left in the middle. That was the only time I've ever seen like a horrible Oasis show. I don't know what, but Jarrett Grody and I went to it together.
Wow.
And Oasis was terrible. I don't remember why. But Weezer was good. And then Coachella this year, I thought they were great.
They had so much fun on Coachella.
And the only bad part of their set was the song from the Black Album. From the Black Album.
Yeah. Ugh. Oh, boy.
Okay.
Well, how about we start getting into these songs? What do you say, Scott?
Sure.
Okay. So the first track on the Black Album is Can't Knock the Hustle. So I'm hearing this.
Yeah.
And
you are, yes. Unless your headphones are unplugged, I can't tell.
No, I haven't been hearing any of it.
Oh, okay.
So they're doing this hasta luego thing. As a Latinx person, my alarms are going off, but at the same time, I'm like, I stand.
Yeah.
I love it.
I don't mind the hasta luego part.
No, I love that part of it. He said motherfucker.
Oh, he did?
I said it right now, Scott.
Wow.
I repeated it because he tricked
me. I'm leaving.
No.
He tricked you into this? Slam.
He described this song as a mix between the Beastie Boys, Beck, and Weezer.
No. Definitely a mix of Weezer and something.
Yes. But
I think the hasta luego part is probably what he's talking about with Beck.
Maybe that's the closest thing
he
can get to Beck.
Kind of thing.
Yes.
Did he write this? Because, you know, obviously the video is about Pete Wentz.
Yeah, being an Uber driver. Yeah.
Did he write it about an Uber driver? Because there's the whole, like, tip me,
leave a 5-star review, I'll leave it to you. I think so. I think that's what it's about. It's not very personal.
Although this whole album, a lot of it feels like a reaction to his fan base, in a way.
Oh, yeah. He's mad at us.
And so I also feel like it's a little bit about, hey, I'm trying to be commercial.
Yes.
You can't knock the hustle a little bit.
Yeah, he's like, hey, look, I'm doing all this work. I'm actually working really hard, so you can go talk all the shit you want, but I'm still going to be working hard.
Yeah, and it's a little like, look, we just had a number one song because of the weird shit I do. You know, you can't knock the hustle.
No. And the video was actually shot for a different song completely. But they reworked the video.
What song did they?
It's a song that hasn't come out that they haven't released yet. I think it was called like After Midnight or something.
After Midnight, we gon' let it all hang out.
What if that's the pivot they made next?
Just into Eric Clapton.
I think this song is not bitch. Well, there he goes, cursing
that's
again.
That's bad.
He shouldn't be doing that.
Here's kind of one of my issues.
Yes.
With it. Let's put aside the music.
Sure.
Which is, I kind of go back and forth on it. Or the production. But, you know, when the Blue Album came out, it was very charming that he was, like, his lyrics were sort of like Don't Stop or We'll Die. They have this
yes.
rule of we're never going to rewrite a lyric.
Right.
You know? And it was very charming that he was using kind of, I don't want to say appropriating
right.
hip-hop language, but...
But he's
as
like
much
a dweeb.
As just...
Yeah.
Yeah, he's being a dweeb saying...
Like, cool things.
Saying cool things. But 25 years on... Is it still funny to take like a Jay-Z title and use it as the title of your song and
right.
then say "Don't step to me, bitch"?
Yeah,
in a nerdy way. I don't know.
No, I don't know. It, yeah, 25 years ago, we'd be like, "This is great." But
right.
I also think my main thing about a lot of the songs that I'll say they think is if any other band did it that wasn't Weezer, you might not even think about this
song. You might not even think about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot, listening to this album again today,
yeah.
a lot of the songs I had to divorce myself from Weezer
yes.
and say, like, okay, if I was just listening to the radio, would I like this? And some of them I would say I would.
Yes.
So, but this one, I thought it was okay. I still think it's okay when I hear it. I don't mind it. But then put it when they were at Coachella, this is the one new song they played.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, put it in that context, and it's dog shit next to their
oh, yeah.
entire oeuvre.
Yeah, like, if you put that after Only in Dreams, you'd be like, what the fuck?
This is, and it was the worst part of their set, and
yes.
they seemed embarrassed to be playing it.
Yes.
And the crowd, it was almost like, you know, one of those movies where, like, a crowd is totally silent suddenly.
Yes.
You know?
Oh my, yeah, just, like, full embarrassment.
Yeah.
I don't like that in movies when people are singing when they shouldn't be.
Right.
It's the most embarrassing thing I could think of.
Right.
But they don't even really...
I just said right to you twice when I have no idea what you are talking about.
So like, I
when
guess,
people in movies are singing when they
I'm
shouldn't
I'm trying to
be?
Think of like a scene. Like,
but
so
just
like,
to be a nice person, I was like, yeah, right. I agree with you.
I feel
but
like
now the, I'm going backwards and
like,
saying, what the fuck are you talking about,
it's
man?
Like it's a moment in like movies sometimes where like someone will start singing to like save an awkward moment. Like, I'm trying to like in...
Like, I've just told you I love you and I don't know... Why do birds suddenly appear? That's
the only
Parenthood.
One that I can think of is, have you seen Mean Girls, Scott?
Yeah, of course.
So when they accidentally kick the boombox, and it's from their little recital thing, their little Christmas recital, they kick
okay.
the boombox, and then the music stops. Oh, what do we do?
Uh-huh.
Then Lindsay Lohan starts singing the song.
Oh, shit, I don't remember, but yeah.
Oh, no.
Does it sound good or does it sound bad?
It's, the thing is, Lindsay Lohan's a good singer, so
yeah.
it sounds good. I also just don't buy it when people in movies are good singers because not everyone is a good singer.
Right.
But
yeah, it's almost like everyone in a movie, because they've all been to theater school,
yes.
they all have the exact same skills as anyone in theater school,
yeah,
which gives you the weird... outlook that everyone in the world has been to theater school.
Everyone is like conventionally good looking and
right.
is also like good at singing.
Well, that's the other yeah. thing that I've said this a few times, but when you see any TV show or any movie, you have to know that almost 99% of the people on it have dyed their hair.
Yes.
And they all are sitting on sides.
Yeah.
Basically. Like they all have, and sides are like the script.
Yeah.
The pages that you're supposed to memorize that day. They print them in tinier than normal size pages. And everyone like has just memorized their lines and tucks them under their seat.
They're all sitting
under the cushions.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Hear that, movies? We know your tricks.
Yeah.
We've seen a set or two. We know what you're doing.
Okay, thanks for explaining that. I still don't get it. Go on.
If you know what I'm talking about, hashtag Matt, I got you.
Hashtag Matt, I got you. All right, sure. Hashtag, if you don't know what he's talking about, hashtag Matt, I don't got you.
Yeah, I don't got you.
Don't put that apostrophe in there because that'll ruin your hashtag.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for teaching them. Okay, so the next song on the Black Album is Zombie Bastards.
I think this starts promising.
Yeah, you're like, what is this? What's going on?
You know,
at least it's guitar based. And then this.
Immediately like, huh.
Immediately the... But okay. This is the sort of the Dave Sitek influence.
Yes.
In a way. But the fake bass, you know.
I think Die Zombie Bastards is a Minecraft thing.
I think it's about his fan base as well. It's... If you kind of look at the lyrics, it's all about like, hey... You know, all of you fans who are so strict about what you want me to do to die because I want to be doing what I want to be doing.
I love that he is at this point of now wishing death upon his fans.
This is
I don't love this one, Scott. I'm going to be honest.
It's better than some of them.
I think that's probably true.
But like okay, so here's the production. This is where the modern influences come in. Yeah. The people all saying yay, and the bass not being real,
right.
And it being this kind of more modern sound. But unfortunately, this is one of the few that's this is a guitar-based song that I don't think, if I heard this and didn't know it was Weezer.
Yeah.
It's not a total pop crossover.
I think he wrote all the songs on this album on piano. And then retranslated them for guitar parts where necessary.
Right, interesting. So this is one of the more unsuccessful ones to me because it's produced like a pop song, but it's not written like a pop song, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas if he just wrote it like a Weezer, if he just produced it like a Weezer song, it might be more successful.
Yeah, and it doesn't have any parts in the song. What I think sometimes has what a good Weezer song could be is it starts off kind of like a little mellow and not sad, but builds. And then builds to something big. It doesn't,
a crescendo,
this stays flat the whole way.
Yeah, it's just kind of deep, 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 deep.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the pop production style, which is we never want it build.
No.
We want it to be the same throughout because we want you to get sucked into a groove and kind of like an earworm kind of thing.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, this melody is just kind of like... The most memorable part of the song is the... dee, 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 dee.
Yeah.
Dee, 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 dee. Dee, 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 dee. And what Rivers is doing is almost secondary to all that. And then this part does not work as a pop song.
No, this is it's just some of the elements are just incongruous to each other. Like this part
sounds like it could be from a Weezer song a little bit. But this sounds like, that Bruno Mars song where he's talking about how he's going to, sit around all day and not do anything.
Yes.
Maybe I'll have some sex and all that kind of stuff.
Maybe I'll have a little sex.
Maybe I'll have sex. Which, by the way, Bruno, if you're, considering dabbling in sex, that is a position of privilege.
Yeah, yeah.
That a lot of us do
check
not have.
Check your privilege, Bruno.
Okay, because...
Bruno's canceled.
There were years of my life where... I couldn't just think to myself, oh, maybe I'll have sex today.
Yeah, and not even a full amount, just
some sex. But that's what this reminds me of. Is
he's tired of it.
He's trying to do one of those songs where it's but he doesn't have the chops that Bruno has to turn it into a real pop song.
Right. This is one that I would like to hear I just want to hear some more guitars on it. I think that it would save
it for
me.
Like almost zero guitars.
No, there's very
also
few.
Bass.
Yeah. Yeah, get Scott in there.
Yeah, all there is just the... By the way, I feel like I've been one of the few people who's seen every bass player they've had
really?
Live.
Yeah. I've only ever seen... I've only ever seen Scott.
Yeah, yeah. No, I saw Matt and I saw the Green Album dude as well.
Mikey.
So, yeah, Mikey. And then didn't they have someone after that too?
They got... Scott in very shortly after because he left. He did some of the promo shows for Green and then he left.
Okay.
I saw, I was just talking to Jess Jardin about this because I went at the Memories show. They had like step and repeats that you can go stand in front of, and take photos. But the face of Matt Sharp was cut out so you can get in the photo and be Matt Sharp, which is very, rude.
Yeah.
But they also had it for the Green Album and took Mikey's face out. And I was just make it so you could stand next to them.
Yeah.
That's better. But also, Mikey has since passed. And so that was an extra bad taste.
That is. I wonder what their deal is with Matt. I understand if there's a personality conflict.
Yeah.
And you're just I cannot stand being around this person longer.
Yeah. I heard that they were working on something together, in private.
Yeah. I think I heard that too.
With the last few years, but they just never put it out. Man, drop the collab.
Yeah. And I don't even think that you could say if he were to come back, it would be a return to form because I think Scott's really good.
Scott has really come into his own, and I would feel so bad for Scott if that happened. I think that'd be rude.
He's put in way more time than Matt did, even.
He's clearly very happy to be there every time I've ever seen
That's the one thing about them all is like, you could technically say, like, Brian, who's really good at guitar.
Great.
Like, couldn't you say that he would sort of pull a Sleater-Kinney?
Yeah.
You know, who just left? Janet?
Yes.
Just left, like, supposedly because the new record is not a true, you know.
It's not what they're like.
Style, you know?
It seems like it's going to be very
pop, like St. Vincent.
Yeah.
But you could see Brian doing that at a certain point and being like, you could see a person like in Brian's position doing that.
Yes.
But Brian always just seems like, hey, man, I'm in Weezer. Yeah. I'm happy to be playing the old stuff.
As long as those checks are coming, I'm happy. Yeah.
You know?
Well, how about we move on to the next song?
Sure.
This one is track 3, High as a Kite. Can I tell you something about this one,
sure.
Scott? I love this song.
I think this is a great song. My only quibble is the production.
Sure.
The guitars are turned down and the drums are turned down.
Yes.
In order to make it not sound like a Weezer song. I would love to hear a live version of this where they're like...
Yeah, I haven't seen them do it live.
Yeah. But this is... I think it's a great melody. Really well put together. People who haven't heard the song are confused about why we're saying that on this part, probably.
Yes.
But when it gets to the chorus, it's great. I just wished that Rick Ocasek was in there turning up the guitars.
Yeah.
So here it comes. Like, those are some classic, like...
Yes.
Heavy metal sort of chord structure-y kind of things of like, bum, bum, bum. You know, like you can hear the drama in them, but they've turned everything down in order to make it sound like easy listening in a way, you know, which is kind of a bummer.
His voice on this song is so great, too.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've seen the video.
Yeah.
The video is directed
Mr.
by
Rogers.
Some Fuck Jerry guys, though, which is kind of a bummer.
That sucks.
But the video is... cool. Yeah, he's like Mr. Rogers, and then it gets a little twisted.
I mean, can you imagine Mr. Rogers being a little twisted?
Yeah. Don't tell Jim Carrey.
Never tell Jim Carrey anything.
Don't tell. He's a blabbermouth, this guy.
Yeah. So then they get into the bridge coming up, which I think is like a great bridge. And I can hear it as an old Weezer song.
Yes.
If it was like Pat was back there going, duh, 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 duh. But instead they do this with it. Almost turn those guitars up.
Yeah, I want to rip into that guitar solo because it's great.
Yeah, but would love to hear this live.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think this could stand next to their older material.
It's as good of a song as any of those songs.
Any on the Blue.
Yeah.
I think it's as good as anything on the Blue. It's just...
This is a really pretty part, but it's like not...
Yeah.
I'm not interested.
Yeah. This is kind of their easy listening 70s AM gold kind of part of it. But I like this. Ding, ding, and then gets back into. Here we go.
But yeah, now imagine.
Like the transition from that into if it were really ripping would be great, but you know.
Weezer,
re-record this.
Re-record it. That's the thing. I want them to... it's so frustrating to
really think... Really nice singing there.
Incredible. It's like so frustrating to think that I know better, but it's I don't.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about it.
And who knows, like, if they came up with... Who knows if this song was written beforehand or if, like, they were fucking around with the production style and came up with it out of this and they're just like, oh, this is the way the song is because we came up with these... We came up with it based on the production. I don't know how he writes songs anymore.
He said that this song reminded him of Surf Wax America.
Yeah, I can see that.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's just like a feelings of like escaping and stuff. Like,
so here's,
I get it.
Here's my issue is like, so this song never would be on the radio because it has too much guitar in it.
Yes.
So why go halfway with it?
I don't know. It's
because I think the next song is something that you could see as divorce Weezer from it, and it sounds like something on the radio.
Yeah.
So that's like, put out a whole album of that if you want, but that song in particular, do it like a Weezer song instead, you know?
I agree. Why don't we get into the next one? It's Living in LA. That's what we're doing.
We currently reside within the parameters of the city of Los Angeles. This is very pop.
Yes. I'm trying to think of who this would be on the radio. I mean, like,
it's a
Chainsmokers? Like,
yeah, it's almost like a Zedd song or something like that. But that guitar is very treated, and it doesn't even sound like it's a real guitar in a way that, like, to be on the radio now, you can't sound like a real band.
Right. You know? No, you can never. He's talking about a girl he's pining after and compares his loneliness to being in this great city that we reside in. Mm.
In which we reside.
Yeah. Thank you.
But this, like, just imagine it as a Jason Derulo song.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, Taylor Swift. Like, this is, like, you could hear this any
pop. Or like,
Jason Derulo.
Like, not Joe Jonas, but Nick Jonas.
Oh, you know, or something. This was like not for Joe. It could never be for Joe.
By the way, Joe, big fan. He was on the
Joe's
Bang
great.
Bang TV show and was really funny. And
I like those boys. They seem great.
He was a couch guest, and then he had so much fun. He was like, hey, can I come back and be a character guest?
Fun!
And then the show ended after that, unfortunately. And then my cousin alerted me to the fact that he follows me on Instagram.
Oh, wow.
So shout out to Joe.
I like those boys. They seem great.
They seem like nice boys. I did hear when they used to have an office at the Henson Studios that they...
On La Brea?
Yeah, that they never... that it's like, I think, like, say it's $100 a month to park there, to self-park, and it's $20 a day to valet.
Uh-huh.
That never self-parked.
Wow.
Valet, even though it's like 10 steps to their office, like, always valet.
Must be nice. I used to live right by there.
Oh, cool.
Shout out to La
Kermit
Brea.
The Frog.
Shout out to Kermit.
Yeah.
He knows Weezer.
He does. I was just there the other day recording the score for my movie coming out.
Ooh. I can't wait to see it, Scott.
Oh, thanks.
Was Kermit there?
Kermit was there. And the Jonas Brothers.
They're all just hanging?
They're all just hanging. And Kermit was drinking. The valet.
Oh, that sucks.
Hey, ho. Can I take your car? So anyway.
Hello, Mr. Ackerman.
The song is, I think it's one of the more, like, Weezer, if you want to put out a record that's just this, go for it.
Yeah. This sounds most like Pacific Daydream, if I'm being...
Oh, does it really?
Yeah, so if you... Okay. Or, like, even, like, this is okay, Pacific Daydream might be an album you could be interested in. The next one, I'm just going to stop this one now so we could get to the next track here. It's called Piece of Cake.
I'm interested because I'm hungry.
It's a little too early for cake, Scott, unless you have...
Right.
Pancakes.
Oh, this is one I like, I think. Although I will say I listened to it 2 hours ago.
Yeah.
Don't remember it. So. Was surprised that there was a song called Piece of Cake.
So that line that he says about let's do hard drugs to fix our problems, he said he put that in for Dave. Like, because he's like,
Dave Sider.
Yeah. And was like, I thought it would sound cool and that Dave would like it. Because he's like, I'm the most straight edge guy ever. I don't do drugs.
Okay.
He's a dork.
But does he or does he not? I also feel like.
I feel like he doesn't anymore, at least.
He's constantly fucking with, like, in interviews, he's never telling the truth.
Yeah.
You remember that whole thing when the SNL thing came out and he was like, oh my God, I'm so honored. How great. And then you heard later he never even watched it.
That's, yes. So I had Eli Mandel, who wrote that sketch, on the show.
Oh, wow.
And he talked to them backstage and he said that they were very nice, but, like, it just sounds like he said to Eli, you wrote that at a really good time for us.
Oh, meaning that
they're having an album coming out. And so
and
like
the Africa single.
Yeah.
Okay. But that's my thing is like, who knows if anything he says in an interview is true?
I know. It's such, because he's always been a troll. He's a bit of a troll, this guy.
Is he having a laugh?
He's having a laugh. He's taking the piss.
By the way, the drums in this, you know, it's very easy listening, Weezer.
And that's, we all know, the thing about everybody in this band is that they're very, very competent, good musicians. I want to hear Pat fuck them up. I want to hear, like, that's what I want. I don't want to be having a chill time.
But that's, that, it also, like, if you were to just turn those drums up.
Yes.
And you know how, like, 80s songs like Tom Petty.
Yeah.
Like, the drums are the loudest thing in the mix. It almost feels on this album like the drums are an afterthought, and they turn them way, way down.
Let's just,
and
just quiet, like, those a little bit. Do you think Rivers was mad at Pat?
No. How could he be mad at Pat?
I don't know.
Pat's been there for him throughout everything.
He could have been mad at him. He's like, I'll show you.
What was Pat's side project? Didn't he have a side project?
The Special Goodness, right?
Special Goodness.
Yeah. They're pretty good, too. This song...
I don't remember. We've been listening to it. I don't remember.
Yeah, the thing about it is, this is one of those other ones, I think, that if you gave this to, like, anybody who's on the radio right now, if you gave this to a Shawn Mendes.
Right, maybe they'd do something. But also, the other thing you got to know is, like, those people are all technically better singers than Rivers.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, it's almost like Rivers... if he wanted to just be a songwriter for hire, you know, which, you know, sometimes is really cool. Like I was kind of listening to Pink records recently and like going and going, like, oh, wow, that's interesting that this like hard rock person wrote this song that because of the production sounds like a pop song, you know?
Right.
That's always like really interesting to me. Of the side gig, you know, that people can have of writing pop songs for huge pop singers.
Yeah,
you know? But those people are like amazing singers. Mm-hmm. Pink is this incredible vocalist and can do these runs that Rivers could never do.
Oh, no. You know what? And I don't want to hear him do it.
No.
It would be so embarrassing.
Right.
There's that Lady Gaga song on Joanne, Come to Mama, that, what's his name? Father John Misty wrote, and he released his demo of it afterwards. Like, this is also really good.
Yeah, like two different interpretations.
Yeah.
Two different people doing something could be so wildly different.
And you had that guy on Bang Bang.
What guy?
John Gabers? The guy, I'm forgetting his name right now. I feel
bad. What did he do?
He
you gotta give me more than he's a guy.
He released an album of the songs that he wrote for other artists.
Oh, yeah, that's from... he is from, he wrote Closing Time.
Yes. And then he wrote,
Now, you ever have that thing where someone can't remember a name and it infects your brain?
Yeah. Yes. He's great.
And he wrote Hello for Adele.
Adele, yes.
And, I love, just look up Closing Time band. But I love, it starts with an S. It's,
Semisonic.
I wanted to say Stetasonic.
Dan Wilson.
So, by the way, Stetasonic, I'm doing it again. Semisonic's third record is gorgeous.
Really?
It's all about chemistry is what it's called. Uh-huh. And it's Kulop and I used to listen to it all the time. It's such a beautiful record. And then he, much like the dude from The Bird and the Bee, Greg Kurstin, just got into... okay, well, my band's not going to have any more success.
Yeah.
All right, I'm just going to get into writing huge songs, number one songs for other people.
What a choice. I'm just going to write the biggest songs you've ever heard.
And Greg Kurstin did the same thing for Pink.
Yeah.
Where I was interested because, like, Beck has a co-writing credit on the new Pink record, I think. And I was like, oh, what is it? And that's just because Greg Kurstin was producing Beck.
Uh-huh.
And one of their sort of like throwaway songs, they turned into a big song for Pink.
Wow. Right?
You know? So I feel like Rivers could do that. And maybe that would get his pop songwriting urge out of the way.
And then give us those crunchy guitars, baby. Check out Dan Wilson's album, Recovered. It's really, really
Recovered,
good.
Yeah, it's great.
Okay, and so let's moving right along. Track number six on the Black Album.
Right along.
Alkaline Trio covered that on
Moving Right Along on the Muppet
on that thing. Yeah,
which, what was it called?
I think it was called the Green Album.
But yeah, yeah.
And then Weezer did Rainbow Connection.
Yeah, which sounded good.
It sounded great with Haley from Paramore. Okay, track six is I'm Just Being Honest.
So the interesting thing about this song to me is, like, if you listen to the whole thing, I'm like, oh, okay, he's in character as a person, which I think is a really good observation of a person. And you see this on Twitter all the time, like, what? I'm just being honest.
Yes.
And I always think that is the mark of an asshole.
Yes.
Someone who's like, why are you getting offended? I'm just being honest.
Yeah.
And so this whole song is about a person like that, just like who's got what they think is just unflinching honesty, and it's just being like a rude asshole to
right.
people, you know? But because he starts it, he's singing about someone gave him a CD of their band, and he's saying, like, your band sounds like shit.
Yes.
It almost sounds like it's either him literally saying this to someone
yeah.
as himself, or it's what happened to him when back in the day when he gave
right.
someone.
Right, it's not really quite sure. I would love if both things were true.
Right.
Like, it's possible that both did happen.
Right. But then he switches to him, like, saying that his girlfriend's haircut is bad.
Right.
And then he switches to someone going on a date. So it's like three different people, because you can't have a girlfriend and be going on a date, right?
I would hope not.
So, but because he starts in the music industry, it sounds like he's it's autobiographical for some reason.
I kind of like this one because I also like when Rivers like adopts like an attitude when he is like, when he's being a little like cheeky. I like that.
But then musically we're back to just easy listening kind
yes.
of. You can't even say this is like a summer sounding song.
No.
As much as just it's like weak tea.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. This was this is a new version of a song that he did on his side project with Scott Murphy, Scott and Rivers, that they only do like Japanese songs or songs in Japanese.
Oh, okay.
This is like an English version of it.
Oh. Interesting.
I don't hate it. I don't dislike it. I think it's good.
I don't hate it. I don't dislike it.
I
think it's good.
I was working through my
really.
I was working through my thoughts there. It's not a song that I honestly would get back to much. But I don't think it's not one of the worst ones on here. That's still yet to come.
I think that take his singing off of it, give it to a real singer.
Oh, man,
you
yes.
maybe have a pop hit.
Yes.
But
I mean, that's this album. That's the whole
yeah.
thing. But the... Because even that is just, I don't know, that just doesn't, it doesn't sound... The thing I was about to say is that I think it's good when he adopts his character, but I also need to believe it a little bit. And
yeah.
so sometimes when he's singing like at these parts, I'm like, well, I don't know if he's really selling it to me.
I would also say, like, the lyrics are kind of funny,
yes.
but they're not funny.
They're not funny enough.
You know,
yeah.
like in the second verse when he's saying, like, you ask me how my hair is and I say I thought it was better before.
Yes.
I'm just being honest. That's not funny.
It's not really a heighten from your band is bad, too.
Yeah, and I also would, like, if you wrote a sketch like that and turned it in, I'd be like, yeah, but can we like punch it up and think it, like, it's not a heighten. It's not even at a level of, like, you know how sometimes people, when they think they're being funny, they'll take a joke that's been around forever. Like,
yes.
does my butt look big in these jeans?
Yes.
Or do these jeans make my butt look big? No, your butt makes your butt look big. Like, you know how a lot of people say that, but
yeah.
it's an old joke that everyone uses. And like, like when I hear lyricists using those, I'm like, okay, well, you're a musician, I don't expect you to be funny, but like, stop trying to be funny.
I don't know if you want to take this as a punch up, Rivers. I got it for you. Instead of saying that you didn't like the haircut, say the haircut's so bad it reminds me of this awful band I heard in the earlier part of the song.
And then in the third one, boy, that reminds me of this haircut, which reminded me of a terrible band.
Exactly.
See,
come
then,
on, it's
then
not
you
hard.
Have something.
It's not hard.
No.
Come on.
Easy to do.
Okay. Okay, let's play track number seven. It's Too Many Thoughts in My Head.
Now, this is a guitar tone that I don't necessarily need to hear from Weezer.
Who did they steal it from? Is that...
It's like sort of...
Santana?
Santana-ish, yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now, Scott, that I don't like this one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think it... I've been wrestling with... I think it rips off a song that ripped off Keep Me Hanging On. And I can't remember what the middle song is.
Oh.
So when it gets to the chorus, we'll talk about
it. Yeah. He wrote this chorus in 1997, if that's helpful.
It sounds like it's ripping off a song from 1997.
Mm-hmm.
But when we get to it, I'll try to sing. And I searched for the lyrics, and I think I'm just getting the lyrics wrong because nothing came up. Okay, so this reminds me of How could you bother to say,
how could I lie to you? Oh, yeah.
Which was a ripoff of You Keep Me Hanging On.
Yeah.
So you know how Oasis ripped off like a lot of stuff, like the Coke jingle and mm-hmm. Stevie Wonder songs and stuff,
yes.
and George Michael, and they would always have to credit them later.
Yeah.
There's a song that ripped off You Keep Me Hanging On that this is basically ripping off.
It's a copy of a copy.
Yeah.
That's so interesting.
How could I? But I feel like the lyrics were, how could I lie to you? But I've looked up how could I lie to you, and I didn't find anything.
Because, like, it comes up a lot, but did you hear his song Exploder when the White Album was out? It's actually really interesting because it is like a very weird inside look about how he writes songs.
Oh, interesting.
And so like he hears melodies that he makes like a playlist of like melodies that he likes, and then he like basically like reverse engineers the melodies and like rearranges them and then plays them, and that becomes the song.
Okay.
So he like is sort of admits to stealing but changing enough so it's different.
Okay.
So it's possible.
Remember
that he
the days when he used to write guitar riffs?
Well, now he like copy. He has like a spreadsheet of like syllables and
like the Dat fan of music now.
He, you know what? I'm glad finally somebody said it. He is like the Dat fan.
Uh oh,
we're in an elevator.
Yeah.
This song, yeah, I don't think this song is good, Scott.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Why don't we move on to the next song, which I think is very strange, The Prince Who Wanted Everything.
I can't tell if this is about Prince or not, but let's listen to the lyrics. This has got that T-Rex kind of stomp, but a pussy version of it. Here we go. Here come the lyrics. Great start. That's what makes me think it might be about actual Prince.
He basically said that he didn't mean it to be about Prince, and then once he started writing it, there was just too many things that were similar, so that it sort of did become about Prince.
Look at him now!
Yeah.
Like, this one has promise, though. Like, if you were to produce it better and change the lyrics, I think that there's something in here.
Yeah, it definitely has more good in it than bad, I think. He said that it also has a sort of... there's some things in it about, like, Ozymandias, that poem. And
from Watchmen?
From Watchmen, yes. Jeremy Irons.
Wow.
From the new
Coming
show.
Soon.
Yeah. Yeah, he got the scoop.
What if they played this? Like, the music cues in the movie Watchmen are so terrible.
Yeah.
Snyder is just the worst with music cues. Like he's as bad as the worst ones I've ever seen in a movie are Flight.
I haven't seen it.
The Zemeckis film with Denzel Washington being the drunk pilot.
I'm drunk right now.
Because like every music cue is there to tell you like what you should be feeling about mm-hmm. something. So when John Goodman, who plays, I think his lawyer, I can't remember, but he's real seedy.
Yeah.
Enters. He's like walking down the hall and suddenly you hear, please allow me to introduce myself.
Oh, no.
You know, it's like Sympathy for the Devil, you know? And it's like, come on, bro. But,
bro.
But Watchmen had similarly just terrible music cues.
He's really bad at it because he did a bad job of it in, well, he didn't finish Justice League, but the songs of Justice League are terrible.
Are they really? I don't remember.
I think, or no, it's not even that one. It was, I'm thinking of Suicide Squad, which he didn't do.
Oh, he didn't but do it. No, Suicide Squad had terrible ones too.
Yeah, because every movie now, every superhero movie wants to be Guardians of the Galaxy, which has like really good ones in it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because they have ones that are slightly out of left field.
Yes.
But like I think I tweeted recently, I'm so glad when I hear this, when I'm watching TV or a movie and I hear the song Under Pressure.
Yeah.
Because then I know that the characters are under a lot of pressure. Like, you have never put Under Pressure in a movie when characters are like happy or whatever.
No, never.
You know what?
I freaking dare you, Hollywood.
I dare you.
Step up to the plate. This song is nothing to me.
It's just too in between.
Yeah.
But it had promise, but
it is just sort of like, it starts, and then it certainly ends.
It certainly does. But let's not get to that point. Let's move on.
Yeah, let's move on to the next song. Well, oops.
Oh, okay. Well, all right.
It's over. The next one, number 9, is Byzantine.
Okay, I have to say this is my second favorite.
I think this song is very cool.
I think that put this on a Weezer record where it's not trying to be pop music.
Yes.
As like a palate cleanser, and I think it's really interesting. And like put this in the middle of the Green Album or whatever.
Right.
And it's really interesting. I really like it.
I really like it too. It was co-written by Laura Jane Grace from Against Me.
Oh yeah.
And he said that, Rivers said that she wrote the lyrics, just sending him text messages, and then he turned it into a song.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Kind of reminds me of something off of REM's Reveal, maybe, in a way of like, it sounds summery and like fun.
Yeah. This is you could see people at a beach having this on.
Kind of reminds me of Island in the Sun.
The bridge of this song is from a song that he worked on with Pat in a band called Fuzz.
Oh, okay.
Back in 1991.
Okay.
Pre-Weezer.
Waste Not, Want Not. Rivers.
Hey, he holds on to everything, this guy. He's a freaking...
It's almost like he has a spreadsheet. Like, he's a freaking Dat fan over here.
He's a Dat fan. He's a freaking hoarder. He's like Joan Rivers with that filing cabinet of jokes.
Ugh. He's like finding dead cats in his garage and then melodies from old songs.
God, yeah, that show's so sad.
I like this, though.
I think this is a good song. I think it's very different than anything I've ever heard them make before.
Mm-hmm. But in an interesting way, not in like, God, stop dumbing down what you're doing.
I remember reading in an interview that this was Brian's favorite of the songs on the album.
Oh.
And that he was like, people are either going to really love that song or absolutely hate it. He's like, I love it.
Yeah.
It rules.
Great.
It goes on for a little longer, and
that's all right. We don't have to hear the whole thing, but I like it. This is one of their better deep cuts.
Yes. So why don't we get to the final song on the album, Scott? This one is California Snow.
Lil Wayne. Who's that dude who was the guitarist for Lil Wayne, who had like a couple of hits where it was like, I rock, or something like that? That's what this reminds me of.
I don't know.
Just a terribly treated guitar.
Yeah. So this song came out well before all the other singles.
Was it on a soundtrack or something?
It was on a soundtrack for a movie called Spell that Crush put out.
Crush put out?
Crush did a movie. Crush is the label that Weezer is on.
Oh,
so they did Crush, their film department put out this movie. And he wrote the song for the credits.
Okay, so let's break it down.
Yes.
I hate the...
Yes.
I don't mind the melody.
No, I mean neither.
The lyrics, they're about cocaine, I guess.
I guess so.
I'm not into that. But it's not... I remember, like, when this came out, a lot of people really hating on this song.
Well, because they're like, he's, like, rapping. Yeah, and I don't know if he really is, but... This is like a...
This is as much rapping as, like, some stuff on the Blue Album.
Yeah. I will catch myself singing this song to myself.
It's not the worst thing on the record, I think. A lot of people say it's the worst thing on the record.
Yeah.
And I think there are songs that are very just inoffensive to the point of being unmemorable.
Yes.
That at least this is...
The melody's pretty good.
It's a good melody. I don't know if it's how I would end the album.
Yeah.
Because I think something that comes up on here is a lot of their albums are 10 tracks only.
Tracks, yeah.
And so you're leaving, you know, an impression with the last one. I would put High as a Kite at the very end of the album.
That's interesting.
And like end on that super high note. Like,
I wonder if there's a record. I did this for the REM show that I do with Adam Scott, where their last two records I feel like are really good half records, and I put them both together into a 10 or 11 or 12 song album, and it rules. It's like as good as anything of their early stuff.
Yeah.
But I wonder if you could compile three songs from White Album, Pacific Daydream, and this to make one good album.
That'd be really interesting.
I don't know. Uh-huh. I can't tell if there's enough material to cull from.
And it would be... They're all so different, too, that I wonder if it would be, like, even cohesive in any...
But if you took Byzantine, High as a Kite off this, and then took three songs from the other one, or three or four, or maybe even took one of the other songs off, maybe even took this, who knows?
Yeah.
And just sequenced it the right way, would you have, like, one good Weezer album?
I think you could do it, because, like, there's not anything... They haven't... Their lowest lows are behind them. I don't think they've dipped that low in a while.
From the Hurley?
From Ratitude, honestly. Ratitude is remarkably bad, I think.
Okay.
But I think... they've only gone upward, so I think they still have it in them to do something really good. And at this point in their career, they're writing this now. This might be their fifth wave, right? Because if the Return to Form was their fourth, right now they're in this new phase where they're more popular than they've ever been in a very different way than
because of Africa.
Popular. Yes. So now, who knows where they're going?
But none of these songs got on the radio.
No.
Like, I don't think they got on pop radio. I don't think they got on K-Rock, right?
I don't think so. I think maybe Can't Knock the Hustle, but other than
a curiosity right when it came out, but it certainly is not one that they were constantly playing.
It wasn't, it didn't have lasting power.
So then
power.
Why are they doing it? Like, this is my problem with them. Is I get it when Ratitude came out, there was that thing of like, maybe we could cross over to pop radio.
Mm-hmm.
And Africa, they crossed over to pop radio by basically taking a Toto song and doing it note for note.
Yes.
And adding no Weezer flourishes at all.
And then the whole Teal album is exactly that.
Yes. It sounds like karaoke, them singing over, to the point where I was kind of like, are these just karaoke tracks that they're... I don't know whether they replicated these tracks or are they studio musicians? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they got in there because I saw a video of them. This is way before now, but like they did a cover of Paranoid Android and it's note for note the same. And I now thinking about it, it's like we should have known that any cover that they do now is going to be exactly that. But you don't want to deviate too much.
It sounds like what Al Yankovic does when he does parodies of it. He wants it to sound like he goes in and recreates all those sounds with his own band. But who is this album for? Is my question. It's like if you just had a number one single, but none of these were singles and popular.
No.
So why bother? And then when we see you at Coachella, you're doing all your old stuff.
Yeah.
And none of your new stuff. So and then the other thing we got to talk about is like why call it the Black Album?
Yeah, there's already two.
Well, not. I think there are certain expectations when you call something the Black Album that it's going to be a little heavier than something that came out before.
Yeah, and this one it's not heavy in any sort of way.
No, it is not black in the least.
No.
This
should be gray.
This should have been the White Album.
Yes.
In a way.
Yeah.
Or I don't know what other color it could be, just the orange
taupe,
album?
Because it's like kind of just boring.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. It's like basically just, you know, eggshell.
Yeah.
You know, like inoffensive.
Yes.
But so at the end of the day, I've listened to this now maybe five times in preparation for this.
I would say you came in probably the most prepared of any guest ever had.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I take this seriously.
Yeah. Then. Thank you very much.
But I think the good part is that I revisited High as a Kite and Byzantine, and I'll take those two songs away from it and enjoy those.
Wow. Well, Scott, thank you so much for being here. And everybody, this was the season finale of the show, so thanks for listening thus far. And
when you say season finale, what could possibly come next?
I don't know. I haven't figured out what the next version, what the next
thing
is.
Do you talk about the offshoots? Do you talk about the B-side? I mean, you could just continue on talking about things that come out or things that have
things
come
that
out.
Come out. There's many B-sides and stuff that I haven't even talked about.
Sure. If you have ideas for Matt, too, of how to continue this show, what was the hashtag before? Hashtag Matt, I get it.
Or? Matt, well, I don't even remember now. It's like, Matt, I got you.
I got you. Yeah. Hashtag Matt, I got you. Here's ideas for how to continue the show.
Yeah, that'd be perfect. Thank you so much. And we'll see everybody soon. Bye-bye.